This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Construction and Power Women Investing.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson. It's in Arizona. I had a burp.
A little bit too much breakfast there, my brother.
No, actually, a little bit more too much tequila.
Last night. Imbibing as usual.
No, actually this morning. You know, Bloody Maria's first thing on Sunday morning. It's a beautiful thing.
So, were you downtown?
Oh, yeah. We made it down to 4th Avenue.
Nice.
Walking the dog. Yeah, so we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh so wonderful. And we invite people to visit us at friendjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes and TuneIn Radio. Now, speaking of 4th Avenue.
And do you know why, Fred?
Because they want to be entertained.
No, because it's glorious. Glorious, Fred.
Is that a new word you learned?
I did learn that word this weekend. And we'll get more into that as the show goes on.
How many times did you fall off this weekend?
Glorious! I fell off 0 times. Uh-huh. I had a great time until it's the even when the rain came down. So, folks, what Fred's talking about is I went on the annual Charo's ride, horseback riding trip down south of Sonoyta. It was fantastic. I just got back into town. Matter of fact, just got back into town in time to run in the Make-A-Wish inaugural run this morning.
No.
Make-A-Wish. No. Inaugural run this morning.
Yeah, but you didn't run.
I was there running.
You showed up.
I was there.
I bet there was a beer in your hand.
Negative.
A cocktail.
No, sir.
No, seriously.
No.
I've never.
Not only that, I did a, did a carry a bead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a carry a bead
so
for
you
beads
ran
of courage.
For maybe 2 yards?
Nope.
Okay, you did like a 5K.
No, it's not a 5K. It's a 1 mile or a 3K.
Yeah.
So I walked all the way to the starting line.
Okay, walk.
We cheered to people. Yay, thank you for coming out supporting Make-A-Wish. Because as you know, Larry, my son, is a Wish kid.
Yeah.
He got a wish from Make-A-Wish.
Yeah.
And so we were there supporting them. It was fantastic.
And then you ran back to the car.
No, actually, I walked back to the car.
So you...
And then I ran back to the car to get here as quick as I could. But before I got here, I stopped at the Gaslight Theater, where Mia is performing in Bah Humbug, the Children's Gaslight Theater show.
Yeah.
That kicked off at 10:30. And folks, tickets are available for next Saturday and Sunday's performances. Fantastic. Come out and support the kids.
Yeah.
In theater.
So you
the
lied.
Theater.
You never ran at the Make-A-Wish run.
No, I did run.
You just said you stood there cheering the runners on.
Right, but I ran to the starting line.
No, you said you
because
walked.
I was running late.
I want the tape rolled back because you said you walked to the starting line and you walked back to the car.
Fred, the point is, it was glorious.
Okay, fine. Let's see.
And don't forget, folks, this segment is brought to you by our folks, our good friends at Tucson Happenings. Check out Tucson Happenings. It's where you want to go. TucsonHappenings.com. It's where you want to go to see all the fun things that are going on here in the old Pueblo, including today. Do you know what today is, Fred?
Let's see. It's National Cheese Day, I believe.
Close.
The Kraft Company bought it.
National Chocolate Cupcake Day.
Really?
Or National No Beard Day.
I shaved this morning.
Thank you. It was very kind of you.
I didn't know about
that. You know, that razor stubble really is irritating me when you snuggle up next to me.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Nice, Fred. You look good today, too, by the way. I don't think I said that to you, how good you look today.
Yeah, well, I will be on my
marvelous.
Way for more Bloody Maria's.
So tons of stuff going on here in the
old. Break for the radio show.
There is so much stuff going on in the old Pueblo right now, folks.
And it's
out of control.
on 4th Avenue, October 30th. Is the Spooky Kids Costume Contest from 7 to 9 p.m. So we'll be out there handing out candy, and there'll be obviously a costume contest for the kids.
When is that?
Friday, October 30th.
Okay.
In the year of our Lord, 2015.
So let's talk about something that's more timely. Like Wednesday at D&D Pinball, they're having their monthly pinball tournament at 7 p.m.
Did you go to the 4thavenue.org to get this calendar stuff?
You know, every time I try to go to that website, some strange stuff pops up.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I got to put my spam filter on.
It's called entertainment. There's a huge calendar. And if you go there, you hit on the calendar, and it's like every single event on 4th Avenue pops up.
Well, there you go. There you go. But there's so much going on in the whole city, not just Fourth Avenue.
There is nowhere else but Fourth Avenue. Oh, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, just for total transparency, Fred is the executive director of the Fourth Avenue Merchants Association.
Yes.
So he likes to get his free publicity for Fourth Avenue on the show as often as he can.
I pay for this.
You will pay for this.
Like you cannot believe. So the Haunted Ruins, A Witch's Quest, is occurring now weekly at the...
Valley of the Moon.
The Haunted Ruins, The Witch's Quest. So adventures leave the gate every 20 minutes, I believe.
And guess what you should be doing today?
What should we be doing?
Going to Tohono O'Chul for their annual fall plant sale. It's running till 4 o'clock.
Do they have Venus flytraps?
Tohono O'Chul Park. You know, I don't know. Is the Venus flytrap a plant that is indigenous to the Sonoran Desert?
Well, it's indigenous to my countertop.
So the answer is... No.
Well, you know what I discovered? There are carnivorous cacti that are indigenous to the Sonoran Desert.
Really?
Yeah, I got to find out about more about them. But I just found this out recently.
Cool.
I'll bring you back a 5-page essay next week and explore the
5-page essay?
Well, that's what we had to do at South Point.
Yes, gotcha.
Otherwise, the nuns beat you.
They beat you. The nuns and I were on, you know, we were on drinking terms, Fred.
Yeah, I know that.
Also, the 31st Annual Blues Heritage Festival is today. It's running till 6:30 tonight, folks. It's at Rideau Downs, the southeast corner of River and First. Go check out 31st Annual Blues Heritage Festival. That's going to be a good time. And you've missed it, unless you're there, and you're running with your radio on, the 86th Annual El Dorado Days in Tombstone.
Ooh.
Crazy.
So, Jeffrey, every Wednesday for the next few weeks now, is the University of Arizona College of Psychology and Behavioral Sciences is holding the annual lecture series at the Fox Theater. And this year's theme is immortality. And it's very interesting because when I first saw the theme, I thought maybe we're going to hear lectures on how to live longer. But the lectures have actually been on... the cultural aspects of immortality and people's belief systems on what happens on the other side.
That's right. It's more than that, though, Fred, because... Well,
but, I mean, that's sort of the broad theme there.
And, you know, one of the big sponsors for the Downtown Lecture Series are our friends at Power Women Investing.
And
Live Forever, Let Them Show You How.
And the Fred and Jeff Show.
And the Fred and Jeff Show, that's right. So, but remember, folks... First come, first serve. Wednesdays at the Fox.
Oh yeah, you got to get there early.
You got to get there by 4 o'clock when the box office opens up, and lecture starts at 6.
It's free, but you got to get there because it packs in, and there's a lot of seniors there who don't have a lot of other things to do in their life.
Line
up early.
That's not true.
Get there soon.
That's not true. There's a lot of seniors out there that want to be stimulated mentally. That's why they're going to this awesome lecture series.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on now.
Well, you know, it's right after Jeopardy and before the reruns of Matlock. So it's a perfect window for them.
Boy, you got a lot of axes to grind today, don't you?
That's not an axe to grind.
You know, I was talking to my friend Juan Camelo, you know, and Juan was telling me that he has the meats. But along with those glorious meats, he was saying, why does your brother have so many axes to grind?
Meats. What is a meat?
Okay, so the whole story is we're at the ride. Juan's family has a...
But they're the same axes every week.
They are the Ron Abuelo rum people.
Oh, yeah.
So we decided to start a rum table at this event. And one of our friends, Troy, said, well, you can't have a good rum table unless you have meats and cheeses. And so when we opened the rum table, you know, we went to Costco and got all these great cheeses, and Trader Joe's got all these great salamis. We got salami, mortadella, all kinds of great stuff.
So the locally sourced products weren't good enough for you guys?
Well, they didn't have them. They didn't have sourced mortadella.
I bet you didn't even try.
They didn't have locally sourced salami.
I bet you didn't even try.
So when we went to Trader Joe's and we got the meats, when we opened the rum table, it was fantastic. The martini guys were very upset, but it was good.
Okay,
it was good times.
I fully admit I have axes to grind. Here's not an axe to grind. The Pima County Library System has this really cool project that just opened up, just started, called the Culture Pass. And it's tickets to the arts. So you can go to the library and literally check out tickets to different events in Tucson.
That's right.
Museums. I just checked out tickets for UA Presents program coming up.
What was just at UA Presents? Oh, I'm thinking of Broadway in Tucson. We all just went and saw Annie.
Yeah, Broadway in Tucson is not participating. No, so well, we need to start a calling campaign to get them to participate.
Yeah, but the Annie was fantastic. It was a great show.
Yeah.
But did you see the, you went and saw the Irving Berlin show.
Yeah.
So what's next? Well, disgruntled?
No, we're going to be talking
what's
about
what's it called?
No,
I know I got tickets to I'm a little nervous because I like light fare, and this one looks pretty.
We're going to talk about that in a second.
Okay.
After the break. The last thing I have is SAFE, Southern Arizona AIDS Foundation. The Jerome Bellard Festival for Life is coming up. It's a big fundraiser at the Tucson Chinese Cultural Center. And we're going to talk more about that. But huge announcement I can now publicly say is the annual Jello Wrestling.
Oh boy!
Event.
Here we go.
Has a new home. It's called Fourth Avenue.
What a shocker!
Yeah.
And you already announced that a couple of weeks ago. So quit getting free advertising. So there's three things left I have. Number one, today you have the opportunity to go and see at the Flandreau Planetarium the Magic Treehouse at 1 o'clock. Take the kids down there. It's unbelievable. You'll have a great time. Also, the Tucson Guitar Society at 1 o'clock is having a wonderful concert there. Sundays in the Garden Concert Series. Absolutely wonderful. Also at Tohono O'Toole. If you've not been to any of the Tucson Guitar Society events, you're missing out because they are so, so, so good. And then, of course, the Tucson Ukulele Meetup at 2 o'clock.
You said three. You're now down to four or five.
Oh, and I forgot to tell you, the Centurions, your favorite group of local businessmen who
and
do
women.
Nothing but raise money for charities,
yeah,
have come up with the date and the theme of the 2016 event. Would you like to hear it, Fred?
No, we have to take a break.
So it is May 7th, 2016.
May 7th?
Back downtown, and the theme is?
Cheese.
Comic-Con.
Oh.
So we're calling it Centuricon.
Very nice.
The Great Cosplay Display. I don't know if that's the, but I'm pushing for that name, but it is the Comic-Con theme downtown.
Yes.
It will be a train wreck. And folks, trust me, the only place you can get a ticket from is me.
If you got $85 burning a hole in your pocket, this is something not to miss.
Great times, great times. All right, folks, we got to take a quick break. We will be back with much more here on the glorious Fred and Jeff Show. This bit of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Unicom Graphics, Steel Door, and Sleeping Frog Farms.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Shukshon.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful. And Jeffrey.
Good times, Fred. Good
so
time.
Before the break, you had alluded to the spectacular opening gambit of Arizona Theater Company this season, Hershey Felter as Irving Berlin. And in studio with us right now are a couple of kids who are acting in the latest presentation over at Arizona Theater Company. It's called Disgraced, Tony Award winning?
No.
Pulitzer Prize.
There it is. Tony is musical, Fred.
Kind of like a Tony.
It was nominated for the Tony for the best play.
Yeah.
It didn't win.
I thought so.
Oh, I thought Tony was only for musicals.
No, no,
it's
for Broadway.
It's anything
as well.
For on stage? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff.
Fred.
Mm-hmm. So it's a Pulitzer Prize.
Thanks a lot for those.
2013,
notes.
He won the Pulitzer for drama.
Yeah. So here with us is Elijah Alexander.
Hi there.
And he plays Amir Kapoor.
Kapoor.
And Allison Jean White, who plays Emily Hughes Kapoor.
Hello.
So I assume there's some kind of familial relationship.
Indeed.
In the play. But before we get going, one of the cool things about Arizona Theater Company, you know, we call ourselves the old Pueblo, you know, little dusty town, but we have like highfalutin big time actors coming rolling through here with Arizona Theater Company and a lot of other things that we do here. So let's learn a little bit about you guys before we talk about the play. So, sure. Elijah, what have you been up to before coming to Tucson?
Oh, goodness. Well, first of all, thanks for having us here.
Yeah, yeah.
Fred and Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Born and raised in Detroit, moved to New York after grad school, did a bunch of theater, both in New York, overseas, in London, regionally. Moved to L.A. to make movies, do some TV. I got some experience in both of those realms.
Anything?
Well, I moved to L.A. in 2004 to do a movie called Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh, I think that was popular at some point.
I think it was kind of popular, yeah. So I spent a month getting tossed around by Angelina Jolie. That was my sort of christening.
That's not a bad way to start that.
Yeah, that's good times. Good times.
There are worse ways to die. I actually did die in the film, but I was strangled by Angie. I can call her Angie. Once you've worked with her, you can call her, you know. We have that kind of relationship now.
That's nice.
That's good.
I did some TV. I was on a TV show called Summerland for on the WB for during its last season, and I'm not responsible for that, the show ending. Or maybe I am. I don't know. I was on JAG, a show that was on pretty popular
Judge
for...
Judge Advocate General.
That's right. Not playing a lawyer on that show. I'm playing a lawyer in this play, but lots of lawyers in that show. So I bounced around for a few years in L.A. doing some TV and a couple smaller independent films, and then ended up in Ashland, Oregon, which is my home base now, where I'm a part of the Oregon Shakespeare Festival company.
Wow.
And I have been for 5 seasons. Not consecutively, on and off, but... I'll be traveling back there from here once this show is over.
That's great.
But it's great to be in Tucson. It's my first time here, and I've seen more wildlife in the three, four weeks I've been here than probably in the last 5 years of my life. I mean, it's been amazing. It's amazing. And the community is very welcoming, and Arizona Theater Company is a top-notch facility and organization. So it's
appreciate you saying that.
Great to be here, yeah.
Yeah, I'm very proud of it. And Allison, what about you?
My trajectory kind of. I studied theater in college at Brown. I went to ACT for grad school, went to New York after that. Actually, then went back to ACT and was in their company for a while. I did a bunch of theater in San Francisco there and at other theaters, and then moved back to New York. And since then have mainly done theater, regional, some in New York, some off-Broadway, show, a national tour, kind of in the last couple of years begun to do more film and TV speckled in here and there, so that's been kind of fun. Nothing entirely noteworthy, but
you didn't get killed by anybody.
Was just on the blacklist.
Okay, yeah, I was just on the blacklist, but an amazing very spot.
Well, wow. It was very sexy. It was.
Oh, geez, thanks. Well, it was fun.
So you were there, right? Like that. You remember that, right?
Yeah, I was. It did happen. I was there.
All right.
Yeah, the blacklist is kind of.
It's a pretty hot show right now.
Yeah,
it's a very hot show.
Yeah, there's a lot of good TV.
Hotter for having her on it.
Thank you, Elijah.
Well, I wonder what's going to happen after this show today. So, has the episode aired?
Yes, it has. Yeah.
When did it air?
It was a couple weeks ago. It was like the 7th of October, I think.
And your folks had all the relatives over to the house?
Well, I was here, so I had the cast over. We had a little viewing party.
Nice.
I was in the first 5 minutes, then we turned it off and I hung out.
All right, we'll put a link to Netflix on that one.
That's very cool. Very cool.
So this is a, the title's kind of not all that happy and positive, Disgraced. So tell us a little bit about the storyline without giving away too much.
Okay. Well, it's interesting you spoke earlier about immortality. You spoke about Jell-O wrestling.
They all work together.
There's a
They're
synergy
all
here
together, yeah.
Because this play sort of encompasses all of those things. It's a story about, it's a domestic story. Ayad Akhtar, who's the playwright, sort of describes it as a romantic comedy turned epic tragedy. So it deals with themes that everyone can relate to in this day and age. It starts off with a couple married couples getting together to celebrate Emily, who plays my wife, her art exhibit getting into the Whitney in New York. And so it starts off with a celebration and slowly devolves into a pretty intense debate. You know, all those things you shouldn't ever talk about with friends at a dinner party.
Politics, religion,
sports, you know. Well, sports is usually pretty safe. Unless you have fanatic sort of
unless you're
fans.
Like
Red Sox and Yankee fans,
well,
right?
Yeah.
Or see? Pittsburgh Pirate fan. Or
who want to kill all the Cub fans now.
Yeah.
That slide at second base by Chris Coughlin. That's it. I hate the Cubs.
So, okay, the show's over now. It's going to be this for the rest.
Well, it sort of involves all those things. There are obviously bigger themes that sort of evolve. But it really starts with he refers to it as a domestic comedy that becomes epic in scale and sort of speaks for, it really is a play of the times that we are living in. It deals with cultural diversity and tolerance and religious identity in a post 9/11 American society. And it involves so very much, but it's got a big heart and a lot of laughs and jello wrestling.
Excellent.
So is there a lot of political correctness in this play, or is it kind of let it all hang out?
Well, it begs those questions. You know, what is politically correct, and how do we benefit from being too politically correct or not politically correct enough? It deals with racial profiling. It deals with immigrant
issues,
which, you know, it's very vital. It's a very vital play that asks and begs all of these questions that we're asking of our own communities, of our country.
He does a really beautiful job, I think, the writer, of creating this conversation that, yeah, you wouldn't typically have, but these are thoughts that you probably have had, or, you know, or you've talked to other people about. And so he brings it out in this really wonderful way, and it's very charged, and it's exciting to be in the same room where that's going on.
So it's a cast of four?
Five, actually.
Five, so it's
there's
three
another
couples.
Two couples, and then Amir has...
Fred, how was that math? Well, cast of five, three couples.
Oh, we've seen.
You were thinking one couple was a European kind
yeah,
of,
exactly.
Maybe
Amir
French
has a
open
nephew
sort
as
of
well.
Asexual person.
Three of them, a menage.
Oh, Fred, I love you. So, this play sounds like something. This production sounds like something you're not bringing the kids to, but you probably want to bring mom and dad to,
yeah.
And your best friends and good stuff like that. Oh, we gotta take a break.
I don't know
what the heck?
The
10 seconds. All right, hey, folks, we got to take a break. We got more here on The Fred and Jeff Show, so stick around. We'll be right back.
This portion of The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contracting, Ronstadt Insurance, and Casa de la Luz Hospice.
Now, time for more of The Fred and Jeff Show.
This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Dun, dun, dun!
And we are celebrating the people, the places, events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful. We invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes and TuneIn Radio. Now, Jeff.
Yes, Fred.
Speaking of subscriptions.
Please do.
People should get a subscription to the Arizona Theater Company.
We have one.
The season this year is brilliant, and right now, actually, they're in preview this week.
Actually, Fred, it's glorious.
They're in preview this week, but Friday, the opening of Disgraced, a Tony Award, Pulitzer Prize winning play, also Tony nominated. that's being performed at Arizona Theater Company. And with us today, we have Elijah Alexander and Allison Jean White, who, no, that's not right.
Yeah,
yes, it is.
Right.
See, Fred has a hard time pronouncing names. So when he gets them right on, he hits it right in the sweet spot. He like, did I do that right?
Yeah.
You know, over the years, we've ruined his confidence in pronunciation of names.
No, it's not a confidence issue. It's just an expectation I have of myself to screw up a name. So Allison and Elijah are here from Disgraced.
You guys are in the cast.
We are in the cast.
Stars,
yeah.
Along with three other people in an imagined sixth. So for
this
me,
will be who Fred will keep saying. So when's the other cast person coming on stage?
Yeah, when's the other person?
Well, wait, it can't be. Why are they bowing? Yeah, why are they taking a curtain call? Where's the other cast member?
This is a conversation with a couple of couples and talking about all sorts of really relevant current themes.
But themes that include raw nerves, every one of them. Mm. Every one of these themes, someone has a raw nerve attached to it. So
indeed, yes.
Yeah, and so I would say, you know, and you guys correct me if you think I'm wrong, the right people to take to this play include your spouse, but also all of your friends, because this play could be, you know, watching this production could be the icebreaker to open up all kinds of great conversation with your friends and family.
And that's what we're hoping.
Absolutely.
That's what why he wrote the play. You know, part of the impetus, the inspiration for the play was a dinner party that Ayad attended. You know, I don't know the specifics about it, but a lot of these sort of themes came out of an actual event.
Wow.
That he was a part of. So, and it, you know, his hope and our hope is that it'll open conversation, a dialectic that is productive and breaks down barriers and obstacles.
No fist fights. Don't beat your brother because he, you know, likes the Chicago Cubs, which is not a theme of the show.
We do talk about the Cubs.
Oh, do you really?
Because it takes place.
Good Lord.
The play takes place in 2011, and we refer to actually an event.
At Wrigley Field.
Stephen Bartman.
Yeah, the kid
remember?
That took the ball away from
right.
Moises Alou.
And they
want to kill him, and they had to spirit him out of town under cover of a Krispy Kreme truck or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that.
So we refer to that. Actually.
Oh, that poor kid.
Yeah, and we talk about the Knicks. We talk about the Giants and the Redskins. I mean, there's a lot of sports talk. I mean, it's what people talk about.
Isn't it funny how guys relate events, whether they're current or they're from 100 years ago? We take those events and we relate them to something that happened in athletics,
right.
You know, at some point. But in the break, you and I were talking about Michigan and watching Harbaugh have his heart ripped out because Michigan lost to Michigan State yesterday.
Right.
And you went all the way back to when he had his collarbone crushed because, I mean, sports are such a timely thing. And so if you're using sports in this show to talk about current events, relevant events, whether it's immigration or whatever, it sounds like it's going to be a great show. A lot of guys out there will like that too.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I mean, and obviously 9/11 is a big theme. I mean, everyone, in the same way we know where we were when a certain
event
happened, or everyone knows where they were when 9/11 happened. I mean, everyone in this country.
Right, just like our parents' generation, they all know where they were when JFK got shot.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
The 9/11 is kind of our generation's, holy cow, where were you when that second plane hit the towers?
Right.
Everybody knows. Yeah. Everybody knows. So we'll break a leg.
Thank you.
Oh, no, go ahead. Please.
No. The play really is a look at sort of a post 9/11 America. He does it really, really brilliantly. It's about 85 minutes long. It's not that long of a
no
play.
Break in action.
Without intermission.
No intermission.
Wow.
And that's very popular nowadays.
You...
All these plays coming out.
Well, you know, it's got to be hard to crank up that level of intensity
yeah.
and then say, hey, everyone take a bathroom break and come on back and we're going to crank it right up where it was. So you just get it going and...
Get it going and afterwards you definitely have conversation matter
awesome.
Going on. Yeah.
Awesome. Arizona Theater Company.
It opening night is Friday. It's in preview this week.
That's right.
And it runs through November 8th.
7th here in Tucson, and then we're in Phoenix for about 3 weeks.
We don't talk about Phoenix.
Oh.
Yeah. So anything north of the Pima County line.
You guys are done.
Doesn't exist.
You're back
gone.
In Oregon.
Okay. Once we're out of this studio, we don't exist.
Well, that's not sure. We got pictures.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Thanks so much, and break a leg, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. All right, folks, we got to take a quick break. We've got more fun, glorious times here on The Fred and Jeff Show. This portion of The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Anthony's Cigar Emporium, Power Women Investing, and Mayfield Florist.
Now, time for more of The Fred and Jeff Show.
This is The Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating all the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful, Jeffrey.
That is exactly right.
We want to remind people, go to Arizona Theater Company, see Disgraced. We just had Elijah Alexander and Allison Jean White in here, two of the actors. It's going to be a phenomenal performance, another home run for Arizona Theater Company. But take advantage of this culture that we're enjoying here in the Old Pueblo.
Well, we kind of take it for granted sometimes.
Sometimes we do.
There's so much going on that we take for granted. All this great stuff that we can do, and then we're like, you know, we're not going to do it. And then the culture goes away because no one participates.
Right.
So get out there and take your friends, take your family, enjoy
Absolutely.
It.
So talking about a Tucson Renaissance man, we have in studio with us right now Tony Ford, who was formerly with Heartfire, formerly of Maker House.
Yeah, I bounce around a lot.
Well, no, it's not bouncing. I mean, these are like, you know, phenomenal things in the community. I mean, Artfire is like, it's like one of those like unknown gems where we're generating like jobs and wealth in the Old Pueblo. And it's just a quiet little place downtown.
It is. Nobody knows it's there. But it's moving $20 million a year in arts and crafts around the world, the globe.
Maker House, which is a phenomenal event that, you know, is hopefully being retooled in some form. But it's just a maker space for people. And now we have Startup Tucson.
Well, we've had Startup Tucson for a while.
But there's stuff going on. I mean, Startup Tucson when Startup Tucson was starting.
Well, what's the young man that started Startup Tucson?
Justin Williams. The
Justin
CEO
Williams, that's right.
Tucson, Justin came in and sort of like, you know, with a gleam in his eye and now.
And a shiny nickel in his pocket and an idea.
I always describe Justin as running around with a poster saying, we have a startup ecosystem. And I kept telling him, I think it's just a poster. And then after a year, somehow he transformed that poster
into
a viable startup ecosystem.
He worked his rear end off.
There are people, Tucsonans are getting their ideas turned into businesses and successful businesses.
And then getting in front of venture capitalists.
And angel investors and bankers and helping them with crowdfunding. I mean, you name it. There's it used to be when you graduated college, your choices were go to grad school or get a job. Now it's go to grad school, get a job, or launch a company. And that really is a reality for a lot of kids coming out of the U of A, and we lose about 80% of them. They move to somewhere else in the
80%? Let's try 95.
I'm trying to be...
I love being positive.
82 to 86% say they plan to leave in their freshman year.
Tony, I got to tell you, you know, this is the one pet peeve I have, and we talk about the people, places, events, culture, and history, make Tucson, blah, blah, blah. But we need jobs in Tucson.
Absolutely.
Period.
So here's
we
the
got
thing.
This huge brain drain at the U of A, and you guys are stepping it up.
Well, and there's two choices, right? So Startup Tucson's mission is to transform Southern Arizona's economy through entrepreneurship and innovation. What does that mean? That means that you've got two choices. You can try to get other companies to move here, which is what, you know, Treo or now Sun Corridor, folks like that, that's what they do. But that's a tough pitch. It's a lot of tax incentives, and companies tend to move around, and the jobs they bring in are not always, you know, really high-paying jobs.
Well, a lot of times they bring people with them. They're not hiring locally.
Right.
They're just moving.
They're hiring locally for lower-end stuff. They're bringing their executives in, or you can roll your own. And if you look at places like Austin is Austin because of Michael Dell. I mean, it's Dell Computers.
Sure,
it's something in a garage. And so you take these.
Well, now wait a second. Something in a garage that started 30 years ago?
That's right. It's a 20-year cycle.
It had to start sometime, and we're starting it here now with you guys.
We are. And we've already had some wins. We just had R-Bar Energy, which is a local energy bar manufacturer.
Oh, right? Read about that one.
They just won the Arizona Innovation Challenge. They won a $250,000 grant to continue with their company. And then you've got companies like Idea Funding. This next week on Thursday is Idea Funding, which is the kind of the largest startup entrepreneurship one-day conference in the region. It backs right up to the Southwest Regional Angel Capital Conference. So all the investors come to town, and we put all the entrepreneurs in the same room with them for a full day for panels and workshops and networking and drinks and trying to move money where it needs to go. Right?
But here's my question.
Yeah.
So we're bringing the investors here.
Yes.
You guys have got this incubator that you've created. Mm-hmm. You're getting the talent.
And they're actually teaching people how to become entrepreneurs.
Yes.
Right. So you've got the talent from the U of A and in our community.
Correct.
Starting these potentially, you know, multi-million dollar operations, is there a hook to keep them here?
Well, so the idea is to teach the people who already want to be here to mm-hmm. build those companies, right? So it's the people who live here, who stayed here after college. When we talk to the startup students who are leaving the U of A and going somewhere else, what they tell us is, there's no support system for me to launch a company here. I want to launch a company, but that's what they were telling us. So we started building that support system. So we reached out to the Desert Angels. By the way, the Desert Angel Investors in Tucson, the third most active angel investor group in the country.
That's
great. It's New York, California, Tucson. That's how that works.
Now let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Most active. Does that mean they see more people
They funded 40 plus deals last year.
Wow.
Pretty active for an angel group, a regional angel group. These guys tend to see 300-400 deals a year. Okay, so you're seeing a lot of deals come through the pitching to you in deal flow, but they funded 40 plus deals last year in Tucson, and so total number of deals funded. They're a little lower on capital because we don't have as much capital as obviously the East and West Coast, but they're funding at least last year. They funded a lot of Arizona companies. Now we'll see what this year brings. There's an end to an angel tax credit at the state level, which is going to make things more interesting.
Wait, tell us about that.
Well, so the state of Arizona used to have a tax credit that would allow you to recoup any losses on angel investment for technology. That fund has run out and has not been renewed, which means now if you're an investor, the risk profile for an Arizona company
just goes up higher.
It goes up higher compared yes. to if you were going to get some of your investment back, even if you lost via tax credit, right? So,
these folks don't like to lose money.
Investors are not in the business of losing money.
No.
That's not what they right. mitigate their risk as much as they possibly can. Yeah.
Which gets back to my original question is you've got guys here that are looking to build these companies, mm-hmm. are looking for the infrastructure to build those companies. The angel investors are here locally, active, working. You're bringing money in from other places to look at these folks that have got these great business ideas. Tell us where you're building that infrastructure as well.
So a lot of it actually is centered around downtown. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, and I know some people who listen to this radio station will be shocked, but it has a lot to do with that modern streetcar line.
Sure.
All of the private investment that happened there and the rejuvenation of downtown.
$600 million.
Yeah, if you look at Gen Y and what they want somewhere that has a low cost of living, nice weather, that allows them to engage in multimodal transit and have some urban density. And downtown Tucson kind of fits the bill. So we're constructing that around CoLab out of the Pioneer Building, which is one co-working space. Obviously, you know, Connect, which is over right. in Rialto. There's actually one up in the 4th Avenue District that you guys have a co-working space, Spoke 6, up there.
Now, wait a second. When you say co-working space, what does that mean?
That means a bunch of companies all working out of one big kind of bullpen office is what it really means.
So there's a synergy with, administrative support. And
there is.
And, sometimes these guys work together on ideas.
Absolutely. I find that we pass deals around at CoLab. Like
right.
some of the stuff that I work on, I'll get a call from somebody who wants a website and it's too big for my team to handle. I'll pass it to the agency next door to me. I mean, they're just two tables over. I'll make the intro. They'll run with the contract. They pass things that are too small for their team that are right for my team. We do video and consulting back and forth. It's the advantages, a lot like the sharing economy. It's like Uber and Airbnb and all this kind of stuff. This generation has figured out to take advantage of sharing resources where it's appropriate and creating kind of, I call it co-opetition, right?
Co-opetition.
You're all still out working to make money, but when there's appropriate times to cooperate to make everybody more effective, you do that. And these co-working spaces are really great at starting that.
And you guys have clearly delineated who your client is and who your client is not. Because in the old school business, You got a client in the door, you figured out a way to make it work for them.
Right.
Because you don't want to lose that revenue. But it sounds to me that if your team is saying, these guys don't fit our profile of what we do really well, they fit their profile, you don't have a hard time pushing it over to them because you're kind of non-competitive referral sources.
Absolutely. Well, and what you find is that the chunks of clients who aren't a good fit tend to be the highest cost and the lowest margin. So you want to concentrate on the sweet spot where it's right for your company and the you can give the client exactly what they need and the client is getting the precise delivery from you. That's better for everybody. It's lower cost for them in the long run. It's more profitable for you. And if it's outside of that sweet spot, you move it on. Everything in the startup world is about lean, fast iteration, right? Figuring out what doesn't work and getting it off the table as quickly and as cheaply as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So And I have to mention that this is a pretty big week for the startup ecosystem in Tucson with 10 West, which starts today.
10 West.
10 West is a festival that we created this year that started with idea funding, went out to the entire week, and it's a full week of events along the streetcar line. So we've got everything from a Connected Communities Conference, which starts all day tomorrow, through Tech Track and Entrepreneurs Track panels and education. So I'm doing a one-hour talk on virtual reality and the future of technology and that, Internet of Things, how to launch a business, how to raise money from banks, how to bootstrap your company, all of idea funding coupled with music and comedy and art and studio tours. Lisa Landry's performing at Flycatcher.
I was just going to say, we got an email from, I think, her husband saying, hey, talk about my wife at Flycatcher.
She's at Flycatcher, and that's going to be a great show, right? But also the Tucson Music Showcase at Club Congress on Friday night of next week is, it's got Rich Hopkins and Luminarios. It's got Chicha Dust, which has now changed their name to Zita, I think is what they're called. It's got,
I like Chicha Dust better.
It's two
Chicha
stages.
Chicha Dust, no. That reminds me of an old Monty Zita, Python right, skit. Yeah. We were formerly the swimming fish, then the dead fish. And then they didn't like that name, so they moved on to trees.
But so this Hotel Congress show is two stages, eight bands, all night, Hotel Congress, all Tucson. I mean, Hal Galvin, Giant Sand will be there.
Plane?
Right? What's
see,
that?
Are the Zaza's playing?
I don't know if they are or not. I have to check that.
Just see, this is really a great, what you guys are doing, it's kind of a microcosm of what's happening in bigger communities throughout the country, is you're getting these kids who, you know, have this
but
way that they
kids.
Want to do
I mean,
business.
It's not just kids.
Well, these budding.
People with an entrepreneurial spirit, because I know a guy who's 65 and he's like, coming up with stuff and wants to get.
That's actually is he, that's a big demographic is boomers who have now moved past their career and want to launch companies. They have the experience. They have the capital often. They have the time, but they don't want to work for somebody else. And right. They have this drive and this idea, and they have the experience to bring that to fruition. So there's this kind of echo with as Gen Y kind of pushes into this startup entrepreneurial trend. There's this echo in the boomers as they
so the startup's
retire.
Not only Gen Y.
It isn't just Gen Y. No, we've got a full range of different age groups. I work with a guy who's launching an app company now who's got to be, I would say, in his late 50s.
Now, when you say Gen Y is what? From what year to?
So think that, hipster. That varies.
The what?
Think hipster.
But they kind of run it, so Gen Y and the millennials get run together a lot. It's kind of people who came to adulthood around 2000.
Okay.
That's kind of the gen. So I'm technically Gen X, right? So I was born in 75, but I'm at the very tail end of that. So starting about 78 for about 20 years there, that's kind of the Gen Y millennial people who are
so
born.
So Fred and I are baby boomers.
Yeah.
And then after the baby boomers come who?
Gen X, that's me.
Then you. And then after Gen X is?
Gen Y, or the millennials, right?
Okay, and then the millennials.
And then we don't know who's next after that.
Oh, so Gen Y and the millennials are the same thing.
They get blended. They kind of overlap.
So, and there's always a lot of talk out there that the millennials don't want to work.
Yeah, it's not
they
true.
They want to roll in and say, hey, I'm here, give me $50,000 and I'll be working
funny.
Out of my car.
You know what's really funny about that is I was talking to a guy downtown who had set up a co-working space, and he put up all these ping pong tables and things down in the basement because he assumed, you know, like in Silicon Valley, these kids are going to come to work, but they want to play. And they kept coming up to him saying, can we get that ping pong out of here? We need to put some sewing machines down here. We got a project we're working on. I got to get some things produced. I don't think it's a lack of wanting to work. I think it's that they are extremely defensive of work-life balance. They will not play the game of 50 hours a week in a house and two cars. They're out. The consumer economy with this generation, it's not going to play.
How is it going to dovetail with the current economy?
I don't know. We don't know.
Yeah, I mean that's the biggest problem.
They're the ones driving the sharing economy, right? They share cars, they share houses, they share
Airbnb.
That
Uber.
Concept, Uber, Airbnb, that sharing economy has produced 15 $1 billion companies in the last 7 years. That kind of economic
that flow path. Over all the generations.
Yeah,
because my wife and I use Uber.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I mean, most of the folks in our age bracket use Uber. So yeah, we get it.
But there
is that work life balance.
There is
that guys like me and well Fred to a certain extent. We try to work. Amongst.
See, my work-life balance is more...
Tequila and cigars
life.
And
more life.
Walking around up and down 4th Avenue.
My work is my life. It's I've found a perfect blend of... I'm the guy that said, find what you love doing and you'll never work a day in your life.
That's me. Dad used to say to me that if you love what you do, the money will come.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
You know what?
Sure,
I do.
Sure your dad's a lovely gentleman.
No, but I'll tell you what, Tony. When I finally figured out what I love to do,
Jeff loves to make money.
The money came. Well, What's wrong with that? I love to go on nice vacations. I love to live in a nice house. I don't want to share any of my toys with you people.
It's funny. My daughter. My daughter just started college this fall.
Holy cow! And congratulations.
Thank you. And
where's she going?
NAU.
So's McCoy.
She said to me, what should I major in? I said, well, you got two options in college. You can either have college be fun and life be hard, or college can be hard and life can be fun. Those are your choices. So you look at the engineers, college is hard, but life's a little easier when they get out, right?
Yeah, we'll look at
somebody like me who gets a communication and business degree. College was a lot of fun. Life was a little more difficult when I got out. Right?
I'm the same way. Communication, poli sci, history. Right? But, the interesting part is, I think a lot of this came to the forefront when those folks at Harvard were doing all this research on what makes people happy. Once people figured out that work doesn't make you happy, what makes you happy is meaningful relationships.
Yeah.
Those kids saw their parents completely self-destructing at work.
They did.
And they're having these great relationships. And they're like, okay, how do I have these great relationships and make a buck and do what I want to do and share with everybody and all that kind of stuff? And the answer is, you got to find work-life balance.
You do. So that whole culture, just to kind of bring it back, what we're celebrating during 10 West, all along the streetcar line for the entire week, including Idea Funding and all of these concerts and events and training and seminars, that entire culture, kind of the miniature version of South by Southwest, right, is what we're launching in Tucson. This is the first year. Right out of the gate, we raised $80,000 for sponsors. We brought in every big player. I mean, we got the city involved, and we've got all the major players in town involved. We've got great keynote speakers at Idea Funding. The keynotes from the CEO of HTG Molecular, which I don't know if you guys are familiar with that company, but it's one
HTG.
Of the, yeah, they just did an IPO in Tucson. That's the second, I think, Tucson headquartered.
Was
IPO
that now. After the bar, the company that has the energy bars?
Well, they haven't IPO'd yet.
Oh, okay.
This is an actual IPO on I think it's on NASDAQ. Right?
Okay, wow.
So very successful biotech company. All of this is all kind of encapsulated in 10 West. And if you need more information on that, 10west.co is where to go.
That's what happens
to
the M?
10west.co.
You know, some crazy racing company has that. So, right. But in the future, so 10 stands for technology, entrepreneurship, and the new creative class. You take I-10 West to get here, and it's in the 10th month. Our hope is to take the entire month of October, every festival, every event, every everything, put it under one giant umbrella, and market it to the whole country. October, you go to Tucson.
That's awesome. Awesome. Thanks for what you're doing.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We're all about getting those jobs here in Pima County, and you guys are at the forefront, so we appreciate what you're doing.
Thanks a lot.
All right, Fred, you want to give something away?
Yeah, let's give away a dozen roses from our friends at Mayfield Florist. First person to call us at 520-428-5104 gets a dozen beauteous. What'd you say? Gorgeous? What is it?
Glorious!
Glorious.
Folks, we'll see you next week here on The Fred and Jeff Show. This portion of The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Sleeping Frog Farms and Fred's Meditation Salon and Tequila Lounge.